President Biden signed the latest government funding bill into law last month. In that package, Congress included increases in funding for election security, the opioid pandemic, and humanitarian and security aid for Ukraine. Since then, the Senate has negotiated a $10 billion bill related to COVID-19 testing and treatment that's still in the works, and President Biden has put out his budget proposal for the coming fiscal year. We talked with Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin on Tuesday about these spending bills and other happenings in Congress. Here's a listen to our conversation. I want to start with the government funding bill passed last month by you and your colleagues. President Biden signed that into law. There's a lot there. What would you point to as some of the most important things for Wisconsin in that funding bill?
Yeah, I would certainly point to a very significant response to the crisis we are seeing come, the crises we are seeing come out of the pandemic, which is increased substance misuse, including opioids and the synthetic opioid fentanyl. We've been seeing a real increase in overdoses. We have been seeing people struggling with mental health challenges, and we've been seeing that the suicide rate is ticking up. And not, you know, these were urgent situations prior to the pandemic, but we have seen an exacerbation that's fairly dramatic. And so in this measure, there are a number of really important tools for communities to step up their ability to prevent, reduce harm, treat, and support people in recovery. And that will literally save lives.
The omnibus bill also included over $13 billion of humanitarian and security aid for Ukraine. What do you think of the number that got passed and the response from the U.S. To the Russian invasion so far?
Well, first of all, we have to keep standing strong with Ukraine, our European allies, and NATO by continuing to provide them with the support they need to defend against Putin's immoral and illegal war, frankly, against freedom. I was proud to join a bipartisan group to vote for this legislation to provide over $14 billion in assistance to Ukraine and our NATO allies. And we see that being used in part for defensive weapons and weapon systems, but we also see it used for assisting neighboring countries with humanitarian relief. And frankly, and sadly, I don't think it's going to end up being enough. I think we're going to have to look in the coming months of stepping up even more to stand with Ukraine. And then also increase the sanctions on Russia.
While any individual budget line might look worthy in and of itself, there's concern, especially from your Republican colleagues, that we're spending too much as a federal government when we add up the various COVID relief packages, money in the new budget. Do you worry that we are increasing our deficit, the overall debt, to an unsustainable level?
Well, first of all, I have to separate the emergency funding that has taken place during the pandemic and during the this immoral war that Russia is engaged in terms of invading Ukraine, because typically those types of emergency funding that have literally kept people alive and safe aren't offset. But the infrastructure bill, for example, which was a really once-in-a-lifetime major investment to repair our nation's crumbling infrastructure, that we are paying for. And so I certainly know and acknowledge that we've had a lot of emergency spending lately. We had a worldwide pandemic to contend with. But I think you will see whether it's the spending bill that I was just describing on infrastructure or the supply chain and competitiveness bill that we're working on right now, those will be fully offset.
You mentioned a pandemic relief. One thing that got taken out of the spending bill was money for testing and treatment related to COVID-19. There appears to be an agreement. Senators Mitt Romney and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer negotiated a $10 billion standalone COVID package. Where do you think the priorities should be when it comes to things like vaccines, treatments, and other COVID spending?
Yeah, so first of all, I strongly favor moving forward with a COVID package. And I will mention, akin to your last question, that despite the fact that it is emergency funding, we are offsetting it. So we are looking for savings and revenue so that we'll be fully paid for moving forward. But what this bill really is intended to do is get us prepared for the next wave, the next variant. And we already know that there is a new variant of Omicron that is becoming the dominant variant, and it's very transmissible. And we want to basically make good on President Biden's pledge at the State of the Union that we have the capacity to test and treat. That, of course, doesn't ignore the fact that we should still encourage vaccination and boosting. But that aside, this can go from pandemic to endemic if we know that we have an adequate supply of tests and treatment so that those who do get COVID will have a mild and hopefully quick, mild case and a quick recovery.
Talking to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. Senator Baldwin, President Biden released his budget proposal for the next fiscal year. One part of that would be a tax on the wealthiest Americans who have a net worth of over $100 million. It would be a 20% tax on a mixture of income and unrealized gains on assets, things like stocks. What are your thoughts on that type of, sometimes people call it a wealth tax?
Yeah, I'm strongly in favor of it. First of all, I think we can all reflect upon Trump's 2017 tax measure that really benefited the wealthy and the big multinational corporations, and did not provide tax relief to hardworking Americans. And so having billionaires and multimillionaires pay their fair share of taxes is appropriate, especially as it's focused on lowering costs for working families and investing in, you know, make it an America economy. The idea that because of COVID and war related inflation that working people are not able to keep up with their bills, but that the richest people in the United States don't pay their fair share of taxes, that is, that shouldn't remain. And so I very much support President Biden's effort to make the wealthiest pay their fair share of taxes.
The Senate is expected to vote soon on the confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court. Looks like she is likely to be confirmed. You've met with her. What are your thoughts on her nomination and likely confirmation?
Yes. Well, I met with Judge Jackson last week. She is extremely well qualified and has strong experience working as a federal judge, especially at the appellate level, which is, of course, the work that will come before the United States Supreme Court. And she has a really long and proven record of being impartial, fair, and independent. And she's guided by the rule of law. It was a pleasure to meet with her and delve a little bit more into topics of interest to Wisconsin, but also to revisit some of the things that were mentioned in the Judiciary Committee hearings, because I think she has great character, temperament, and integrity, and we are going to have both a historic but outstanding new justice.
And finally, we talk a lot about polarization in politics in Wisconsin and at the national level. from your vantage point in the Senate, do you see some common ground that maybe we don't see as often in the media or in the public?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think there's an old saying about print news reporting, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And so I think there's not a lot of coverage of the bipartisan, non-controversial legislation that is passed. By way of example, last Thursday evening, by voice vote, we passed a very significant measure to help solve the issue of shipping delays and our supply chain challenges, and especially what we're seeing in our ports with backups of barges and ships. This was the product of a lot of work in the Commerce Committee, very bipartisan, and it passed by voice vote. This is one of the major challenges we face right now that is inflation-related, and we got a bipartisan solution, but hardly no coverage because it's not the controversy that that typically gets more attention. So that's one important example of bipartisan cooperation behind the scenes.
Senator Baldwin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin talked with us on Tuesday about the latest in government spending and Supreme Court then-nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson. This afternoon, the Senate confirmed Judge Jackson, now Justice Jackson, by a vote of 53-47.